Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. And yes, we're still talking about prayer. And I think you're going to enjoy today's sermon on prayer because it's just simply titled, Always Prayer. Always Prayer. And listen, if we would grab a hold of this thought, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but this principle anyways. But I want you to think about it here today as we think about this topic of always prayer in our daily lives, okay? If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read responsively, beginning together in verse 10 and reading down through verse 20. Join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses. And we'll begin together in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In our Sunday school class, we were talking about Jacob and going back to his family and back to the promised land after all the things that happened with his getting of wife, supposed to get a wife, ended up with wives, and children, families, cattle, wealth, etc. But he was heading back, and, you know, as is pictured, this is what has to do with this thing of always prayer. He did most of it in the flesh. Most of what he was doing, he did in the flesh. All the trying to save his family, giving of the presents to his brother, sending the messengers, etc., was all done in the flesh. And folks, let me just say something. We can get things accomplished in the flesh. We certainly can. We're human beings. God made us the way we are. We, if you will, are physically and humanly capable of doing things. But it's futile. Without God. It's powerless without God. It's not lasting without God. And so, with God is what's important. So, the reason why I read this passage of scripture as the text, and I began in verse 10, because that's the key to always prayer, is being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And see, that's the key. How many of you, just in life in general, or if you have anything to do with computer programming or know about computer programming, okay, or electronic devices at all, there's something called a default. A default. That means like an original setting, right? An original starting place. That's what a default is. And a lot of times, what we do is we go back to our default. And what our default is as human beings is the flesh. That's the default. Because when we get saved, we have a new operating procedure. We have a new life in Christ, right? And that should become our default. But a lot of times we don't set it as such. We don't click the little button to accept those changes, you know, and allow and allow that. How many of you on your devices, your apps and stuff, it says, will you give permission to this app to control things in your computer? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so when we got saved, God says, would you click this button and give permission to this new app to control things in your life? And you said no. You declined, right? Folks, that's what always prayer is. Always prayer should be our default. It should be the thing that we just go automatically go back to. That, oh, decision comes up. Always prayer. Difficulty comes up. Always prayer. Hey, how about this? Blessing arrives. Always prayer. All of it. That's what always prayer is all about. And listen, do we really need always prayer? Yes. Do we really need in our lives, as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, and we've mentioned it every week since, in everything by prayer? And does everything really encompass everything? Does all really encompass all? Does always mean every time? The answer should be yes. Christians, if we want to be effective with God, if we want to be relevant to God, if you will, we've got to change our default. We've got to realize that it is always prayer. It is everything prayer. It is all, not just some, or sometimes, or whenever I need. It's we've got to change our mentality. We've got to change the way we think and process information. It has to all be on Him. The word always simply means perpetually. Okay, that's a great word, perpetually. Okay, throughout all time, continually, without variation, constantly, during a certain period, or at regularly stated intervals. Someone mentioned yesterday, while we were out soul winning, we were running a little bit behind schedule, and they mentioned that they had a standing date with lunch. I'm for that. Actually, I'm for having a standing date with pre-lunch, lunch, and post-lunch. I like all three of those. Okay, those are great. But, okay, so always could be at stated intervals. Okay? I remember Daniel, he prayed as he did aforetime. Right? I mean, he had a standing date with God in prayer. By the way, do you have a standing date with God in prayer? I mean, I have a standing date with coffee every morning. I do. And if my son doesn't get out of bed and make it for me, I go get him out of bed and say, make my coffee. Don't I? Uh-huh. He does good most of the time. But, right? I had to make my own coffee this morning, just wanted you to know. Anyways. I'm not missing my coffee date, okay? I promise you that. Whether he gets up and makes it or I make it myself, I'm having it, okay? And if I really have to, as an emergency, I have some instant coffee in the cupboard. It works in a pinch. I just put 2 tablespoons in instead of 1 for 6 ounces of water. So the spoon stands up straight. Is that okay? At least it doesn't dissolve in the coffee. You know, that's all right. Anyways. Now, it also means regularly. This always prayer. In Job 27, Job makes a statement I thought was interesting. He says this in verse 8 through 10. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? Isn't that an interesting statement? By the way, a hypocrite is what? Someone who says there's something, right? And they act or behave a different way. That it's, you know, if I said you should, you know, love God, forgive others, and then I don't love God and I don't forgive others, I'm a hypocrite, right? So he says it's about the hypocrite. Will they always call on God? Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke 18. Now we're going to spend a lot of time here because I thought this is such an interesting portion of Scripture. But think about it. If we're called by the name of God, we're Christians, we say we're of Christ, shouldn't always prayer be our life? Or at least our thought process? I mean, when anything happens, the first thing I should do is think about talking to God about it. That should be my default. Immediately. Remember, good things? When, by the way, let me just say this. Sebastian, where you at? I saw you over there. I love Sebastian. I hope y'all learn to love Sebastian. He's great. Miss Ingrid's okay. You know, she's good. No, she's actually the better part of that relationship there. Right, Sebastian? Yeah, okay, he agrees. No, but you know, we were just talking and I was telling him about trying to find a truck, and you know, he just whips out his little phone and he starts looking and he sends me a link to this truck. Well, it's the one that I got. And he helped with that, and that's a blessing. And you know, but ultimately, I'll tell you what I did. I immediately, when I knew that that's what God wanted for me, I just thanked him for providing for me. Hey, when I was working at the insurance company to get a reasonable amount of money to cover the cost of not only getting a vehicle, but making it what it needs to be reliable, and such and so forth, the first number didn't seem like enough, but I just prayed and asked God and I asked you guys to help pray and ask God. Well, God did. And as soon as I heard the number, I promise you, pray for Russell Martin. He's a good guy, an insurance adjuster. But Russell's a Christian. He goes to church. And I told Russell the day before, I said, Russell, this is the number I had in mind. I told him a number. The next day when he called me and he told me the new number, as soon as he told me the new number, I said, to God be the glory. And Russell said, he said, yeah, he agreed with me. And I said, Russell, do you remember the number I told you yesterday? He goes, oh, now I do. It was $200 more than the number I gave him the day before. Who can do that? God can do that. God can do that. And the first, as soon as I hung up with the phone, the first thing I did was thank God. And then I called my wife and told her. but you know, we why isn't it that way? It should be that way, right? All the time. And I'll just be brutally honest with you, because this is the circumstance I'm in right now. I should ask God to forgive me, I suppose. But as soon as that accident took place, I was in the flesh. I was mad. And I was mad that somebody would wreck my truck. You know what all that natural reaction was? That was my natural default as a human being. I mean, when that impact happened, if I were a good Christian, I probably should say, right? Go right to God and say, God, what would thou have me to do? And he probably would have said, don't be mad at that poor lady. She just hit you. But I was. I was mad at her right away. And I walked out and said, what did you do to my truck? I think I scared her.
She didn't really look at me very much after that. You know, I wasn't like super mean, but I mean, I was. But can I be honest with you? I was in the flesh. That's what this thing of always prayer is about. It's not about being in the flesh. It's about not being in the flesh, but it's about being in the Spirit. It's about going to God in everything. Are you there in Luke 18? Look what this is interesting. I love this passage. I love this verse of Scripture. Look at the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Okay, so he's even the recording of Scripture starts out and says, this is the reason for this parable. The parable that's about to follow is for this purpose. What end? What end, Luke? It's for the purpose of that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay, so now just a whole flood of verses should come into your mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? Mount up with wings as eagles. Wait, I say, on the Lord, right? You could even go so far as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth his way. I mean, you can go a lot of things because men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up on God. Don't quit on God. Don't ever think that you can handle it and God can't. And God won't. In other words, don't ever think that the flesh will do when the Spirit is available. And by the way, the Spirit's always available. That men ought always to pray. That men ought to always be in the Spirit. That men ought to always be in communion with God and not to faint. Not to regress, not to go back to the default, not to quit. We could connect lots of dots here. Because the principle is sure that it's about our spiritual relationship with God. Our constant communion with God. By the way, let me go through some of these words. Continual relationship with God. Without variation relationship with God. Constant, regular communication with God, relationship with God, reliance on God. So here's the parable. Look at verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. By the way, neither regarded man. That's our world, right? Okay? And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. For he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, this sounds a lot like what we were reading in Luke chapter 11, right? With the friend. And going in, knocking in the middle of the night, it says about the friend that he wouldn't do it because he was already in bed and the door was shut. But then it says he would do it because of his importunity. Because he was his friend. And he would give him everything he needed, right? And then he gave us the comparison about, if your son asks you for this, will you give him something bad? If he asks for a bread, will you give him a rock and a stone, right? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And he said, no. He said, and then he says, how much more, right, will your heavenly Father give? So this is very similar to this, because he says this. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He's like, if this unjust man who will not regard God, who will not regard man, will eventually give to the woman, how much better will God, who loves you, who has bought you with a price, who does care for you, who does want to meet your needs, how much better will he take care of you? He says this, that he says, I lost my spot here. I'll find it here in a second. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Okay, by the way, does God owe us anything? Does he have to do anything for us? He doesn't have to, right? But he gets to. And here's what that means. It may seem like a long time to you. He bears long with us, right? You say, but I've asked God for this and he didn't give it to me. Well, how long is too long? Do you know the timing that God has for things? By the way, my children ask me for things and I tell them no. Not yet. I tell them it's not time yet. My own personal decision, this is not pastoral advice, okay? This is not biblical principles. This is my own personal choice. I have chosen not to give my children a cell phone until they go off to college. My choice. So guess what all my kids want? Cell phones. And they ask me for them from time to time. Or they don't always ask. Sometimes they make comments. Because I know your children don't do this.
Well, you know, Dad, this would be a lot easier if I had a cell phone. You wouldn't have to do this if I had a cell phone.
And I usually tell them, well, that's my choice. So I guess it's okay that it's not easy. And you know what? Because I have a timeline. And when it's time, I can bear long with their requests until it's the right time. Why? Because I'm the Father. I know what the right time is. I've determined what the right time is. He's our Heavenly Father. And listen, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't always pray, because we don't know when that time is. But he does. This lady kept praying, or kept asking and asking and asking to be avenged. Finally, he did, because of her much crying, right? He said, by the way, we can cry unto God. I have a friend. You know him very well, Pastor Tom Davis down in Alvarado. I've worked with him for a long time. He prayed for his parents to be saved, his Catholic parents to be saved, for years and years and years before they finally did. And sometimes with great tears, we'd be sitting at a staff meeting around the table, and every week he put it down as a prayer request. And sometimes Brother Smith would allow, it would be Brother Tom's turn to pray in our staff meeting, and he'd just be weeping when he'd cry out and mention his mom and his dad to be saved. His dad got saved first, and then he passed away, and then finally his mother finally got saved. I think she was close to 90 years old. In her 80s, late 80s, early 90s. But just, what does always prayer mean to you? He gives us this parable. The end of the parable, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. By the way, I just want you to know that, you know, come quickly and speedily, that's in God's timing. All right, by the way, the first century church, they thought that the Lord would come during their time. Here we are, how many years later? Yeah, quite a few, okay? So you understand that when God says quickly, to him, everything's in an instant, right? It's all
happening outside of the bounds of time, but we're bound by the time. 80 years, where's Brother Parks back there? 82 years seems like a long time, doesn't it, Brother Parks? It's but a moment to the Lord. Miss June, 97 years seems like a long, long time. It's but a moment. I think that 46 years has seemed like a long time. And you guys are, oh, you kid, you know. So to pray for something for a year, to pray for something for 10 years, what is it to God? It's but a moment. But to us, it's eternity. Why is it taking so long? Think about my children. I mean, my children are like, finally I get a cell phone. Well, it really hasn't been that long. Right? It's just, to us though, it seems like forever. You know how we get, right? I don't have it with me. It's in my office. How many of you, when your data slows down, the little spinning wheel, this is taking forever? We're so impatient. Aren't we, right? I mean, you're used to your computer processing, you know, thousands of terabytes of data in seconds, and it slows down to 1 terabyte per second. You're like, it's taking forever. Ah! Need a better signal. Wait, I know. I'll buy more data. Another $29.99. Yeah, it's faster. Ooh. Now it's taking 1 second instead of 2. No, we get that way. Come on, right? I just got this iPhone. They got the new one coming out. It's faster. Yeah, by like 1/1000th of a millisecond. That's just how we are. We can't afford to be there. And then we slip right back into the flesh. Because God's not working fast enough. So I'll just do it. Again, this is guilty as charged, okay? I get frustrated at my children. Because I say, go get this. And then I'm sitting there. And I feel like, if I would just go do it myself, it could be done a lot faster. Come on, dads. No, the rest of you, give me an amen. Come on, something. I know you've done the same thing. Right? And most of the time I'm right. Because I'll go get it and they're still standing there. They don't know where it is. So I walk over there. Dad. I go back and do what I did. You know, and the other day, one of my boys, I mean, God help him. His mother was mad at him because he wasn't moving fast enough. She's like, I'm just so frustrated. Every time I ask him to do something, he's just like this. But, folks, then we in our flesh says, I can do much better. And that's the thing about this always prayer. Is we get rid of, we shed off and we get rid of the always prayer because God takes too long. We're the microwave generation, right? We want it now. I like to call it the Burger King generation. You want it your way and you want it now. By the way, if you ever go to a Burger King drive-thru, they take forever. It's supposed to be fast food, not slow food. but this is what hinders always prayer. Our flesh, our impatience, our selfishness. We think we can better than God. And that just cuts off always prayer. Every time. We need to understand that we as God's people should be a praying people at all times. We need to understand that we should go to Him with everything. Always. This woman in this parable, She went to the one that mattered. Even though he was a bad guy. Now, we have a better thing. God's not the bad guy, right? You understand that? So why wouldn't we go to him with everything? She went to someone who probably didn't give her the time of day. Remember, he didn't have any regard for God. He didn't have any regard for man. She knew that, but she still went to him. Because she knew that he was the only one that could do something about what she had a problem with. Folks, when are we going to realize he's the only one that can do anything about the problems we have in our lives? We can't. Without him, we can do nothing. We need him. He's the only one that can. And we've got to keep coming to him and keep coming to him and keep coming to him about everything and always on a regular basis, constant basis, continual basis, perpetual basis. That's always prayer. Because he's the only one that can. Remember the passage of scripture that talks about can a man add a cubit, right, unto his own stature and all that stuff? We can't. And by the way, if I do something in the flesh, will it last? No. It won't last. So why won't we go to the guy, to the one, to the ruler who can? Always, perpetually, constantly, regularly. Prayer is to be our constant work. Prayer ought to be our constant duty. Prayer ought to be our constant default. In every area of our lives. When the blessings of God come, we should go to prayer and in thanksgiving unto him. When the difficulties and the storms arise, we should go to him in prayer for refuge. And for strength and for support. When we go to him in grief, it should be for comfort. God is our and must be our everything. His closing statement of this parable, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What does that closing statement say about this parable? This woman, we don't know her status. We don't know if she was one of God's or not. We just know that the man didn't regard God, and we know that the man didn't regard man. It doesn't say anything about this woman, that she was God-fearing. But it does say about her faith. Because she constantly went to him, went to him, went to him, went to him. What was her belief? What was her faith? That he would answer. That he would deliver. That he would avenge. Right? He said, will God come back? Will Christ come back and find us in faith, believing that he will act, he will avenge, he will do, he will supply. He will fill in the blank. Because we are praying always. What's the end of the parable? The end of the parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that's how we should be. Just a few quick things. By how much the apostles thought about always prayer. Let's go with Jesus first. In Luke 21, he says this. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You understand that he was talking about the last days. He said, these things, the cares of this life are going to come upon you unawares. Snares are going to be all about you. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Folks, is that true in our lives today?
Yes. So what should we do? Pray always. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a devout man. He feared God with all his house. He was not saved yet, folks. But at least he had the sense to know that God was the one to go to. And what did God send him? Salvation. And by the way, whose timeline did God use? His own. But it said about him that he prayed to God always. He had a regular prayer time with God, a God whom he didn't know yet. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with the Spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Let me ask you a question. Did Paul care about every single believer and every single church that he ever had came in contact with for the gospel's sake? I'm going to tell you yes. Because in Romans, and in Philippians, and in Colossians, and in Thessalonians, and in 2 Timothy, and in Philemon, he said, is there any more? I think that's it. He says over and over again, "I thank God for you, and I pray for you always." He loved these people. These were little churches. These were fledgling Christians that needed the protection of God and needed the provision of God in their life. And he prayed for them always. And I believe that. Because he said he did. Can I just ask you a question? How much more do we need to pray for one another? Always. Folks, not a week goes by that I don't pray for all of you. And I'm not saying that so that you love me more, okay? Because I already know you love me with all that you can. And I make it hard for you sometimes. But listen to me. No, I want you to pray for one another that way. Always. Because the devil is a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And folks, I have moments of weakness, just like you have moments of weakness. Who's praying for you? Who's praying for me? Who's got that always prayer? Praying always without ceasing for us. That we may be what we need to be for God. He said that, Paul said that Epaphras, he prayed fervently for those in Colossae that they may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Oh, man, if we would do that for one another, as we would get out our prayer list and we go down to the listing of the best month of the year and pray for those in September who have birthdays. But we would say, God, would you keep this person perfect and complete in all the will of God for their life? Epaphras prayed for these people in Colossae. He was one of them. He loved them. They were his brothers and sisters in Christ at the church. And he prayed for them always. Laboring fervent for you in prayer. That's what always prayer is. If you want to know what effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is, it's always prayer. It's always prayer. Paul said in Thessalonians, he said that he was praying for these people because they were going through persecutions and tribulations and all these things. He said, "Wherefore also we pray always for you." Oh, we need that today. Folks, it's not just about, if you will, our relationship with God, but it's our relationship with God so that others can have a relationship with God. We all have people that we love. We all have people that are special to us. We ought to pray for them always. And let me ask you a question. How many of you knew that I was going to have a car accident on Wednesday the 14th of August? Do you know why I'm not dead today because of that accident? Because people are praying for me. Because God knows that that wasn't my time. You know, I understand all that stuff, but I know that you pray for me. I know that. I know that other people pray for me. There's this little lady. She just turned 90 years old over, I think, 2 weeks ago, last week. Mrs. Martha Badger. She was the organist there at Trinity for many years. Some of you know Miss Martha. If you want something prayed for, you ask that lady. Will pray for you. And she would always ask me, Brother Combs, what can I pray for you? She goes, no, I don't want just a general thing. I want something specific that you need. She was really, really honest about that. Those of you that know her know that's true. She goes, now, what do you need for the school? What do you need for the Christian school? You tell me and I'll pray. She goes, well, what do you need for your kids? What do you and Mrs. Combs need? Well, what do you need, Pastor, Brother Combs? What do you need? I mean, she just goes right down the line. Praying always. We're supposed to pray and not to faint. We're always to pray. We need to give thanks to God always for others. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and prayers. In patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved brethren, your election of God. We ought to be praying always. Always prayer. Ceaseless prayer needs to be our new default.